Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
No time to question my moves. I stick to the path that I choose. Me and my friends are gonna do it right. You'll never see us run away from a fight. To be a master is my dream. All I've got to do is believe.
I believe.
I've got a chance to win. I'm on my way to victory. I can be a champion if I just believe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime, or maybe something special, and whatever else comes to our minds. Just a quick reminder, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week, as always, by my co-host, Austin.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bella.
I can't do an Italian accent, I'm so sorry.
I think we've talked about this ad nauseum on here, but I took 4 semesters of Italian in college, can't remember shit, and I think my professor just passed me with a C to get me the fuck out of his class.
That's also known as the Austin foreign language class experience.
Wait, what did you take? You took Spanish?
And French.
And French.
Don't ask me to say a single word of either of them, though.
So what was your, because I took a semester of Spanish, I took a semester of French, and then decided on Italian because they were like, you need to pick something and stick with it or you won't graduate on time. So what was your, like, the 4 semesters you took to get the whole?
I only had to take 2 semesters of French in college.
Maybe.
We were in different programs, though, so.
Yeah, I guess so, because I had to take 4.
I should have just taken Spanish and just had it be like a repeat of my high school education, and that way I could have gotten out with better grades. But I was so dumb when I was in college because I was like, I really want to learn new things. No, Austin, no, you don't. You just want to get out of there.
Isn't that what college is supposed to be, about learning new things and having new experiences?
That reminds me. We got some good feedback from our political diatribe episode.
Oh, did we? Okay.
No pushback that I'm aware of, at least none that people have come out to us to say. So thank you all. We did get a nice email from Tristan. And we got another email from Ben.
Shout out to Tristan and Ben.
Ben, he also had some points about some things we've said about Pokemon.
Okay, the real important stuff.
Yes. I foolishly said, have we ever seen a bathroom in the Pokemon anime?
Oh, right. I couldn't remember a time, but it was there?
Well, Ben can remember at least 2.
At least 2?
Yes.
Okay.
In one episode, Flannery from Hoenn is seen hiding from Ash in the Twerps, so he can't have a gym battle, apparently. Looking forward to that.
Oh, so this is like future stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
He also points out that toward the end of Aim to Be a Pokemon Master, like, you know, like the epilogue series.
Oh, wow.
Jessie is seen washing up after her shift at Team Rocket headquarters in a bathroom.
Well, thank you, Ben. I am glad we are finally able to put the record straight on whether or not bathrooms exist in the Pokemon universe, so
we can flush the toilet on that one.
Yes, we can.
Ben also has, he has some kind words. We keep him company at his monotonous job, so you are welcome, Ben. We are glad to be with you.
I feel that so much right now, Ben.
Yep. I also love my podcast during work hours. That's a great thing to hear. P.S. He was inspired by our Pokemon Mad Lib segment.
Oh my gosh!
And he wanted to write a Mad Lib script of his own for us to do.
Yes, please.
All right.
That would be exciting and fun. Looking forward to that, Ben. We will stay tuned for your Mad Libs.
We can feature that after an episode or something.
That'd be great. Thank you, Ben. We appreciate your listenership and hope that you continue to enjoy. All right. Any other news, Austin?
Nope.
I apologize. My washer is running in the background, so if you hear that, I'm so sorry, but I forgot about my laundry, and I had to rewash it, because it sat in there for a couple days, and you know how that goes.
Well, I don't hear it, but I'm sure the audio will pick it up, and I'll have to edit it out, and it'll be very choppy and very distracting.
Literally, these microphones, it's inexplicable. My mouth is literally right next to it. It may not pick up a word, but somehow, from across the room, behind a closed door, it'll pick up the washing machine.
It can hear a pin drop from miles away.
Insane.
And God forbid you breathe or take a breath.
So if we don't have anything else to go over, Austin, as far as news or updates, we can talk about our weeks. Last week was Thanksgiving in the U.S. anyway, so we had some fun and had some food. I don't think we really have much to say beyond that. It's just another Thanksgiving. Any other things you want to share?
Nope.
Okay.
I saw the Pikachu balloon.
I did not watch the Thanksgiving parade.
I saw Pikachu and Eevee. They were on a sled. I've seen that balloon before.
Anyway, today we're talking about something special. Do you want to tell the good people out there, Austin, what we're doing today?
Yes, today we're going to be covering the third and fourth episodes of Ghost Stories. Because that was such a big, successful hit of an episode. Thanks to Ben for reminding us of that episode.
You can cover those by yourself because that's not what I watched.
Oh, okay.
I did say, I remembered just now that I said that I was going to watch the rest of those episodes because I liked it so much. Newsflash, I did not. Maybe next Halloween. Instead of that, though, what else? We are doing something else, which is...
We're going to do Pokemon Mad Libs.
Oh, no, instead, I'll just say it.
Oh, I had like three or four more things to go through.
Okay, what?
Instead, we are going to be reading the manga. We are reading the manga adaptation of Pokemon Movie 5.
The manga adaptation? There's a manga adaptation?
Apparently.
Oh, shit. That's a problem for another day. So this week we are talking about Pokemon the Movie 5, Pokemon Heroes, aka Pokemon Heroes the Movie, aka Pokemon Heroes Latias and Latios.
Yep.
Or something like that. Did I get it right, or is there more? Did I forget?
Let's stop there.
Okay. It's exciting. It was shorter than I remembered. I don't know why I was feeling like more stuff happened in this movie.
Mm-hmm. You got to include the Pikachu short and the actual feature together as a runtime.
I forgot about the Pikachu short, and I watched it after I watched the movie.
Oh, sacrilege. All right, let's transition into the short proper.
Okay, Camp Pikachu is what it's called. Not my favorite.
No, it's not my favorite short either. But I don't like any of the shorts.
Okay, let's remind me and also the audience, but like I'm going to pretend under the guise for the audience, right? What have been the Pikachu shorts that we've had so far?
Okay, Pikachu's Vacation.
Classic. With
the rival bully Pokemon and Charizard's head in a pipe. Pikachu's Rescue Adventure, where they go to, like, the center of the Earth island, and Elekid is there, and the Blossom do a dance, and then there's a storm.
Sure.
Pikachu and Pichu, that's a pretty memorable one, with the tire house.
Oh, when the tire, and they live in a dump? Yeah, I remember that.
And Pikachu's Peekaboo, with the hide and seek in the mansion, and then the evil lawnmower attacks.
That one which was is your my favorite.
I don't know why, but it is.
You
it
do has know
five
why.
Stars on our letterbox.
You do know why, and the answer is...
You love lawnmowers.
I love...
Hide and seek.
No, I love anthropomorphized lawn care equipment and appliances.
That's what I just said, and you said no.
Wait, what did you say? You said
I said lawnmowers. You love lawnmowers.
But not just any lawnmowers.
Oh, it has to be anthropomorphized and it has to be outrageously angry. And it has to die in a fit of anger.
Yes, because I love the Brave Little Toaster.
I forgot about that connection. I don't know how I did.
How did you forget? I talk about the Brave Little Toaster all the time.
So we're going to do trauma. The Brave Little Toaster. Alex, get ready to summarize the Brave Little Toaster.
Okay, wait. I have a preposition.
Okay, great.
Preposition? No. I have a proposition.
I have a preposition to end a sentence with.
Well, I'm going to finish my thought.
Grammar jokes.
Hilarious. I want our next bonus episode to be the Brave Little Toaster.
Edit the bonus episodes and we can talk. How about that?
I'm almost done and I can finish it because I finished my work project.
Okay, so get ready to summarize the Brave Little Toaster.
Wait, where is it? Okay, I found my notes.
Oh, by the way, we're not going to do the coin flip because we discussed this ahead of time.
We did. We came up with our format and Austin's going to lead that. So I'm summarizing the Camp Pikachu short. Not a lot to say here. How long do I get? Like 20 seconds?
30 seconds. Get ready. Oh, 3, 2, 1, go.
We're on a freight train and our old friends, the Pichu brothers, are here and they're stowing away to go back to their hometown, which I forget, question mark, what is that? They fly off the train because the Skarmory smacks them in the face. Why not's there? They go on an adventure. They're in the woods, there's a Duskull, they have a hoedown with some questionable lyrics, we have the Wallafet are there, they end up in an old mill and have some shenanigans, and then they find the train, and then they run to catch the train, and they get on the train, and we never see them again, hopefully, because they're gone.
Time.
Forever, hopefully.
We never see the Peachy Brothers again?
Maybe.
You are mistaken in that respect.
Shit, they come back. They didn't die in a fiery train accident? Shit.
Yes, the Pichu Brothers are back. They have the dubious honor of being our returning movie characters.
Right.
But before that, I want to go through the DVD I watched.
I watched it online.
I know you did, but I watched it on the Miramax DVD release from 2003, Harvey Weinstein Can Go Die.
Oh,
but
shit.
I got the privilege of seeing the pre-feature previews for various Disney-owned properties.
Ooh, is it when they said, coming soon to own on DVD?
Coming soon to DVD and video.
Yes.
Here's the list. Okay, stop me if you've heard of these. The Teacher's Pet Movie.
The Teacher's Pet Movie?
Exactly the reaction I was expecting. Lion King 1.5.
I did watch that, but have largely forgotten much of the plot.
I've never seen it. Spy Kids 3D Game Over.
Maybe?
And here's the scary one.
Oh, God.
Spy Mate.
Spy Mate?
I'd never heard of this before.
Is this like a children's thing?
Yes.
I have never heard of that.
That is a chimpanzee that's a secret agent and drives a car.
Pass.
Yep. And the other chimpanzee movie, MXP, Most Extreme Primate. That is a chimpanzee that I think is like plays hockey or something.
Is this during the era of like talking animal movies and like chimps were
yes,
all the rage?
We're in the Air Bud ripoff phase.
Great.
This DVD came with an official mail-in certificate that expires on May 31st, 2004. I'm going to have to buy Pokemon Heroes on DVD and Most Extreme Primate on DVD, cut off the price tags, and mail them in so I can get a $5 rebate.
What if you really tried to do that?
I think they would say, Miramax does not exist anymore. Go fuck yourself.
Wow, what a relic from the past, Austin.
All right, I just wanted to point that out before we moved on.
What a different time.
There's also something weird with this DVD. Well, actually, there's a lot of weird things going on.
It's a DVD, first of all.
One of them, on this Pikachu short, did you have the thing where it would randomly be distorted video?
When you say distorted, what do you mean by that?
The color contrast would jarringly change for a brief moment here or there.
Maybe I wasn't paying entirely too much attention. I do feel like it was way different quality in that it was sort of, I don't know if it was the art style, the way they drew it or colored the picture. Like, it seemed like a different kind of medium. I don't know. It was weird.
Are you comparing it to the TV show?
No, I was comparing it to the movie and just what I know of the TV show, but it was like totally different. It was almost like a watercolor. And
Oh. Well, I'm not talking about the art style. I'm talking about like literally, it would be one scene of them in the grass, the Pokemon in the grass, and then the next scene, it would be a brief cut, and the grass would be like highlighter yellow green?
No.
And then it would cut back, and then it would be normal again.
I don't remember seeing something so drastic.
Okay, well, that's the case on this DVD, so just FYI.
Weird.
And that's also the case on the main feature, Pokemon Heroes, the entire way through.
Is that maybe a sign of a degrading DVD? Do DVDs even do that?
No, I looked it up. They all have that problem.
Oh.
Anyway, the Pichu Brothers are on a train because, I don't know, they're like the No Home Boys or something, and they travel via train.
I'm sorry. I have to stop you again. Do you remember, were you like me, when
boxcar you... Boxcar children.
Yes.
Do you want to live in a boxcar?
I wanted to fucking live in a boxcar, and I know I'm not the only one. Don't lie to me. Everybody wanted to live in a boxcar and be on the run.
Like the Pichu Brothers, who also are victims of the Great Depression, I assume. And they are also victims of a passing skarmory that knocks them off the train. And then they end up flying into a Why Not that's picking some berries from a tree. And then they and the Why Not end up flying through the air again. And they end up with the Twerk Pokemon. Or at least, like, the chosen few.
It was such a weird selection.
Pikachu, Togepi, Psyduck, Cyndaquil, Totodile, Phanpy, and fucking Corsola, of all things, apparently are also now on the run from their trainers, because the trainers are nowhere to be seen, and the Pokemon just wander the wilderness forever.
It's not like we even saw their legs at the beginning, like, don't go far, Pikachu, or something to that effect. They're just there in the woods.
Pikachu and friends are out on their own, exploring this brave wide world. Like, what the hell is going on?
Why is Corsola there? I'm surprised it wasn't Politoed, to be honest.
It should have been Politoed.
That would have made for a more interesting dynamic, for sure.
No, they brought the coral reef with them into the, like, fall time forest woods.
It was like the woods in, like, New England or something. It was a weird backdrop.
I kind of liked it.
It was cute.
Sadly, it was not, like, kind of photorealistic like the main feature will be, but whatever. So as we wander what appears to be the American countryside, the Pichu brothers and Why Not land on Psyduck. And Pikachu's like, holy shit, I know these Pichus. It's Pichu Big and Pichu Little, aka Arnie and Danny.
We call them Arnie and Danny because of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
And the movie Twins.
And the movie Twins, yes.
Yes, so there's continuity with the previous Pikachu short. So clearly the Twerps do exist. I guess they just died or something.
Oh my gosh.
And we are told by the Pichus pantomiming that they were on the train and they got knocked off. And now they're here. Why Not agrees to help all of them. They kind of just accept Why Not. I guess Bayleaf and Noctowl are not here to be like, we know this Why Not. Who knows if it's the same one or not?
I'm dying to know if it was the same one. I'm going to just operate on the assumption that it's the same one, but who cares, really?
It genuinely does not matter. All right, so now we have the Pokemon Hoedown song.
Can we talk about the Pokemon Hoedown song?
Please do.
Pokemon Hoedown song has some questionable lyrics in it because it goes, and I can't, this is going to be terrible because I don't really remember the melody. I'm going to read the lyrics.
Come on now, the Camp Pikachu. It's a Pokemon Hoedown. Swing to the left, swing to the right.
No, it says
the Pikachu brothers will be there too.
It's okay, you're forgetting the pivotal line. It's a Pokemon Hoedown. Grab your partner, then throw him on the ground. Spin him to the left, spin him to the right. Throw him in the air, we dance all night. Yeah, you gotta throw him on the ground. That's the questionable part.
Is it throw them to the ground?
No, throw them on the ground.
Throw them on the ground.
Just fucking throw them on the ground.
It's some intense hoedowing.
I don't want to be thrown on the ground.
So that goes by. I was really upset because I saw Corsola was giving Togepi a ride. And I was so upset because I could have sworn it was Phanpy that was putting Togepi on its back. And that was way funnier because Phanpy hatched from an egg way after Togepi did.
We talked about this. Togepi is perpetually a child, refuses to grow up so that it can manipulate everyone around it into taking care of it.
Meanwhile, Phanpy's whole thing is caring for other baby Pokemon.
Poor Phanpy has been traumatized since birth, is still a baby itself, for all intents and purposes.
So, okay, there's some bullshit with a Sudowoodo. Did you like the Sudowoodo?
I do like Sudowoodo, but it was only there for like half a scene, so...
And also, Meowth is in his full camping gear, and he and Wobbuffet apparently are backpacking through the wilderness.
I don't know where they were going or what their purpose was, but they were just deciding to go on a nice stroll.
Apparently, it's like National Pokemon on Their Own in the Woods weekend. Maybe that's why the Pichu brothers are also traveling by train here. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe it's just like, you know, when you go up to see the fall colors, and it's like a tourist thing.
Okay. Eventually, after some bullshit where Totodile launches some Pokemon up the waterfall, now it's sunset. That means the day is ending and the humans are nowhere to be found. So the Pokemon do what Pokemon do and start a campfire.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good point. I didn't even realize like a whole half a day has passed now. Potentially a whole day. It's a night and then they wake up in the next morning in a little while. We'll get there, but where the hell is Ash and everyone else?
How much do you want to bet Ash is like beside himself in grief going, I gotta find Pikachu. I gotta find Pikachu. And cut to Pikachu starting a campfire.
I guess he would freak out about Pikachu only and nobody else.
Of course. He's not caring about Phanpy.
He doesn't care about Totodile or Cyndaquil. Fuck them.
So at our campfire, a mysterious figure floats by. And so Danny and Why Not go to investigate. And it turns out it's a ghostly figure. That's actually a Duskull. And Duskull is Why Not's friend. Because they're both Generation 3 Pokemon.
Duskull's here. Super cute. I love Duskull.
Duskull doesn't really get very many anime appearances, so I hope you appreciate it while it's here.
I do. I was surprised that it showed up, to be honest, because I didn't remember this at all. It makes me think back to Generation 3, of course, which is a favorite, and Phoebe, the Elite Four girl, who's like in her like tropical bikini outfit, and she has Ghost Pokemon, and I still don't understand the connection, but I love that for her too. Is there like something to that? Is there like a connection somehow thematically or not that I'm not getting? Or maybe she just really likes to wear bikinis. I don't know.
Well, Phoebe never appears in the anime, so we'll never get an answer.
I am so upset. Why could she not appear?
She doesn't appear.
They never give the cool trainers or Elite Four people any screen time.
Well, Phoebe is not here, but her Duskull is. She also released her Duskull to go wander in the wilderness of Johto for, or rather, I guess we're like in Connecticut for God knows how long.
I'm going to pretend that this is Phoebe's Duskull.
Phoebe's Duskull has a condition where it doesn't have a red eye. It has a glowing white eye instead.
That was a glaring error.
Did they like not finalize the design yet or something?
Well, no. Well, surely they had to have, right? Because by the time the like material, like anime and movie wise comes out, that stuff would already be done, I would assume.
Right. Well, it did look red for like a split second. I don't know.
Maybe it was one of your color error issues.
Ooh, like the Sneasel.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate the way they animate Sneasel.
Green.
Sneasel and Murkrow. Murkrow's like blue.
There were Murkrow in the movie, and it pissed me off when I saw them for 5 seconds because they were like a bright navy blue, and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
I know, I hate it.
Get out of here.
Add Duskull to the list. We'll see what happens next time we see a Duskull.
Okay.
Some bullshittery happens where Danny wants to spook Arnie with the Duskull, and then Duskull leaves. Bye, Duskull. But as soon as Duskull leaves, a rainstorm starts to happen. And wouldn't you know it, another Generation 3 Pokemon is right around the corner.
Wow, there sure are a lot of these.
Everyone came to Connecticut to release their Generation 3 Pokemon.
Connecticut, aka Hoenn.
It's Volbeat. And Volbeat is not here with an Illumise. It's just Volbeat. And he has a little leaf above him. And he finds the Torp Pokemon and he's like, you silly Pokemon, you should also be using leaves as umbrella. Very My Neighbor Totoro.
Very, very cute.
I believe Volbeat leads them all to, like, the water mill where they can spend the night as Ash is having heart palpitations because his beloved Pikachu is nowhere to be found.
Sorry, Ash.
Meanwhile, the Duskull finds Meowth and Wobbuffet and spooks them as well. So they end up in the water mill. Meowth trips over a loose board and he activates all the various machinery and mechanics and gears of this water mill. And all the Pokemon are in mortal peril. Fun, 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 fun.
It's not a proper Pokemon show without mortal peril.
Thankfully, a lawnmower did not burst through the wall to kill them all. But that would have been really funny and weird.
That would have been very unexpected, for sure. Just a quick side note. This was giving me major Over the Garden Wall vibes.
Okay, I've not seen that in a long time, so you gotta remind me.
Literally, the first episode is the old grist mill, and they're in like a abandoned mill, like a water mill, in like the forests of New England, wherever they are.
I guess they're like in a magical space, which is where these Pokemon are too, so it works out.
I'm going to choose to believe that Over the Garden Wall was directly inspired by Camp Pikachu.
Maybe they're both based on the same like old school animation.
Well,
and we're missing a reference.
It gave me like Sleepy Hollow vibes. Kind of.
Like Ichabod Crane?
Ichabod Crane, Disney? Yeah, a little. It's gotta be that. It's gotta be like 50s Disney, right? I mean, that's a classic.
All right, classic. A lot of animation is happening all at once. A lot of chaos and buffoonery.
You know what's chaos? Right now, you're like a dark silhouette.
I'm gonna turn my light on after this. I was gonna do it without telling the audience, but you had to tell them.
I did have to tell them because it's scary. It's like you're the Duskull coming out of the darkness.
I'm the Duskull, and I've become a shadow of...
Your glasses are literally reflecting the one white light of your laptop, and it literally looks like a Duskull eye moving back and forth.
Oh, cool.
It's cool, but weird. Anyway.
Corsola valiantly tries to stop the machinery. It does not work. I thought I was going to get snapped in two.
It could just recover anyway.
Oh, that's true. It would just recover and, like, fuse back together.
Like a starfish. They can, like, get ripped in half and grow back, right? Basically.
Staryu's not here. They did not bring Staryu with them. But how fun would that have been if they had brought Staryu with them and it was just flopping around? Oh, I guess it flies.
it does fly. It flies through the air like a throwing star.
Never mind.
Poor star, you.
Meowth and Wobbuffet get blasted off out of the mill, and then they get fall in the river, and they get caught in the mill, and they get blasted off again. Funny, 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 fun, fun, fun. Why Not stops the mill from killing everyone, and now it's the next day, and we gotta get to that damn train so the Peachy Brothers can get back to town. And so we take some leaves, and we do some CGI hill sliding. We get to the train right after it starts to take off. So now we gotta get in the hand cart. We gotta hoof, poof, 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 poof to catch up to it. And there's a really scary moment where one of the Pichu brothers, I believe it's Arnie, is on the train and the other one is left behind. So all these Why Nots come up. Like, Why Not summons an army of Why Nots to appear.
That was terrifying, actually. They just start, like, coming out from behind the rocks and trees and shit, and then just descend like a plague of locusts.
Did you notice there was, like, a split second where one of the Why Nots jumps on a track switch and gets them on the right track?
Wait, I thought Psyduck flies and hits the track switch to put that them on the later. Wrong track. Oh, okay.
First, it's like a split second. A Why Not gets them on the right track, and then later Psyduck puts them on the wrong track.
Oh, I missed a different track switch. I missed the initial Why Not.
So this all ends up with the handcart going over the train, the speeding train. Fanpy gets the bright idea to chuck Danny through the air, and he would have fallen to his death and died had Totodile not water gunned him to the train and the other Pichu.
Wow, Fampi.
Well, all of the other Pokemon fall through the air, and they fall in a hay bale, and they're fine. Meanwhile, Meowth and Wobbuffet have been menaced by that Skarmory again, and they also fall on the train, and they're so happy to land in the coal of the train. I guess they also want to go visit the Pichu Brothers' town?
Where is this town they're going to?
Presumably they're going to Big Town.
Big Town! That's what it was called. You're right. Big Town. Oh my gosh.
And I forgot to mention that at one point, all the Pokemon were washing their faces when they woke up, and Togepi was on Fampi's back being carried around. So I was right.
So it was not a false memory.
It was not a false memory, and I was so happy. Thank you all for joining me on that journey. So we all say goodbye to the Pichu Brothers, but not for too long.
Oh boy, what adventures lie in store for us?
We'll find out in Pokemon Chronicles, the end of this short. I think I spent way too much time on it.
You're in the dark again.
I'm going to turn on a fucking light.
This is coming from somebody who always gives me shit for living in the dark, and here's Austin living in the dark. Oh, there he goes. He turned on a light.
I don't know what you were saying, but I'm back. Heads or tails? Oh, right. Tails.
I'm always tails because I'm an ass. Ha ha ha.
You're tails. You're going first for your MVP, LVP, and quote of the short.
Which I did not write down, but I'm going to give my MVP to Duskull because Duskull's so cute and I love it.
Yay!
Who doesn't love a good ghost Pokemon? I would say it's probably one of my top three types.
Should I note it as Wild Duskull or Phoebe's Duskull?
We are going to pretend that it's Phoebe's Duskull.
Okay, great.
So why not? Why not? There was a lot of, we didn't mention at all the narrator like asking questions, and then he's like, right, why not? And then why not's like, why not? And it's great.
Would you like that to be your quote in this very minimally quotable thing?
No, my quote's going to be, it's Pokemon Hoedown, grab your partner, then throw him on the ground.
Turn him to the left, turn him to the right.
Nope, just throw him on the ground and be done with it. Walk away.
That's what Fampi did. Fampi tried to kill that Pichu. And damn if he wasn't unsuccessful.
He tried, goddammit, he tried. My secondary MVP was going to be Cyndaquil because I loved it too. It was super cute. But my LVP is going to be Volbeat. Oh. Because I don't like Volbeat.
You don't like Volbeat?
No, I don't like Volbeat.
Why?
Because I think it's boring.
It's not the most exciting, but I don't hate it. What about Illumise?
Boring.
Do you hate fireflies in real life?
No. It's sad because we don't ever see fireflies anymore because they're all dying and dead because of climate change or whatever.
Climate change isn't real. It's a natural process that happens over the course of our lifetimes.
Now I'm sad. I'm sad because I remember childhood where I used to catch them in a jar and then release them. And now there's not a single firefly to be seen.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have caught all of them in a jar.
They lived. I let them go.
Remember the time I saw Grave of the Fireflies and I sobbed uncontrollably when the opening credits started?
If you don't sob uncontrollably, there may be something wrong with you.
Oh, poor Leslie and Christina had to witness that.
It's a sad movie. I don't know. I'm being facetious. I don't necessarily have anything against Volbeat and Illumise. They're just forgettable Pokemon. They don't do a whole lot, and they're not particularly, like, powerful or useful. No. I'm sorry to any Volbeat or Illumise users or enthusiasts, but I just never have used them, so.
You know, if Illumise had been in this short, we would have had two pairs of male-female paired Pokemon from Generation 3.
The first being?
One for the short of Volbeat and Illumise, and Latios and Latias.
Well, that's a missed opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, well, whatever. Volbeat and Illumise could have sacrificed themselves into the soul dew.
That would have made for a more dramatic story. My quote is the hoedown thing because there is no other...
Right. All right. It's my turn. Oh, boy. Okay. My LVP is going to be Togepi for riding on Phanpy's back. Fuck you, Togepi. I almost gave it to Totodile because Totodile kept on busting Cyndaquil's balls all throughout this thing. At one point, he bit him on the foot for no reason in his sleep.
Bit him on the foot?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, and then Cyndaquil woke up and he flamethrowered Psyduck in the face.
Totodile, what the fuck is your problem?
Totodile also threw the grapes into Cyndaquil's face and purple sludge went everywhere and everyone laughed at Cyndaquil.
I feel like I need to change my LVP to Totodile.
Maybe I'll give it to Totodile.
Do it, Jesus.
Does Totodile deserve it more than Togepi? Probably.
Probably, because he was actively, now that you mentioned it, he's actively being a little shit.
He made up for Phanpy's little error of trying to kill Petey. No, he gets LVP for keeping Danny alive, actually. Totodile gets LVP for sure.
That's a rare one, because we usually love Totodile.
Totodile was out of pocket today. My MVP, I guess I'll give it to Corsola for getting to join the gang for a day. Actually, 2 days.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you don't like that one, so I'll pick a different one.
It's not my MVP to pick.
Well...
You gotta go with what your heart tells you.
I don't know. This wasn't a very... what did you think of this short overall? It was not great, I thought.
5 out of 10? Middling?
Oh, yeah. We didn't come up with a Letterbox review. What's her 5-star ranking?
Okay.
You said 5 out of 10, so that's 2.5.
2.5.
I think it's a little high.
2?
I'll give it a 2.
2.
All right, we'll give it a 2.
It would be a 1, but Duskull bumps it up with an extra star.
Great. So. Thank you, Phoebe. My quote is going to be all the times the narrator talked to Why Not. I have some examples. Why Not? Will you take them to the train station? Why not? Say, that water mill might make a great place to stay for the night. Why not? Etc.
The jokes write themselves. Okay, so let's jump right in to the main feature, which is Pokemon, the movie 5, Pokemon Heroes, Latias and Latios, or whatever the hell the else movie. It's called, the movie. I've lost it. So, Austin, explain how we are going to format this, because it's just you and me.
Okay, I do something I never do for this podcast. I watch the Japanese version and the English version.
Oh, wow. So you have extra knowledge.
This one has a notable rewrite of its backstory. So I wanted to chime in with that knowledge as Alex goes through the whole thing.
Okay, I welcome that because I watched the regular version, I assume. Austin did mention there was a few different ones, so...
Well, okay.
We'll see.
The version you watched, was it widescreen or full screen?
I don't know because it was like in a little video player...
So well, you press full screen and see what happens.
Cropped out? I don't know.
Send me the link, actually, could you please?
Okay, let me find it again.
Because I wanted to see something.
Gotta find it.
So the version on the DVD that I have, and I believe this has been corrected since on later DVDs and Blu-rays, the whole thing has a distorted, like, darkened tint to it. So it's actually kind of hard to make out the details, and it makes the whole thing look really weird.
Gotcha.
All right, let me view what you saw.
All right, I sent Austin the version I watched so he can tell me.
Oh, yeah, this is the proper animation.
Okay, good. I watched the real version.
So I'm going to give this summary. Let's give me a minute.
All right.
See what I can do.
I did it again, Austin, where the timer was going, and it told me like it was like 87 hours or some shit.
Your timer's been going for 7 hours?
87 hours.
Oh, 87 hours. Why do you keep on doing that?
Because I swear to God I stop it, but it doesn't listen to me. All right, Austin, are you ready? You have a minute to summarize the entire events of the movie in 3, 2, 1, go.
Chase sequences, race sequences. We are in fucking Venice, Italy, and we got a lot of running around so we can showcase the beauty of Venice, even though half of it is in CGI and really ugly. So I thought some of the CGI buildings were ugly. Alex disagrees. But first, we got a race to the canals, and there's a Latios that's invisible and takes an interest in Ash, and eventually he ends up saving it from some evil thieves called Annie and Oakley, because it's Pokemon. And he goes to the Secret Guardian, and Misty and Brock are unaware of all this happening, because Ash does not clue them in, until things spiral out of control when Annie and Oakley take control of the defense mechanism of Venice, Italy, that exists. And they kidnap Latios, and Ash and Latios have to save him, and then there's a giant tidal wave that's gonna kill them all, but Latios sacrifices his life, goes to heaven, and they leave Italy. Then Ash gets a kiss from a Pokemon on the cheek.
Time!
Ooh, I thought I did pretty good, I thought.
You did very well. I think that was very succinct and to the point, and you got the entirety of the plot to the people. And now we don't have to talk about it. Okay, that was out of the drawing pan. See you next week.
Go watch it yourselves.
It's not a bad movie.
It's not the greatest Pokemon movie. It doesn't have the greatest plot lines or anything, or even the greatest characters. But damn if it's not fun that we just randomly are having a Pokemon movie about the beauties of Venice. Why? Why not?
It's not the Volcanion movie, so you can sleep peacefully knowing that.
Oh boy, that's gonna be fun when we get to that.
If it hasn't been obvious, if we haven't talked about it, I'm so sorry, but my least favorite Pokemon movie is the fucking Volcanion movie. I hate it, I'm sorry.
Alright, we'll get to that when movie 19 comes.
My favorite is Hoopa, but everybody else on the internet disagrees, and to those people I say, fuck you, you're wrong.
That's movie 18.
I love it, it's my favorite. Okay, I can't wait till we get to that movie.
And what do you think of this movie?
Average, middling. It's not, yeah. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other, honestly. I feel like there's certain parts that are extremely contrived, and I question why those things happened, but it's a Pokemon movie, so.
We might get some answers, actually. Let's go through it.
Okay, so here we go. The opening sequence is interesting. We start out with an opening sequence in like a cool paper cutout style montage that tells the story of what I assume to be what is now known as Altamar, but like in ancient times, where a man and a woman find a pair of children who wash up on a beach. They take them in, nurse them back to health. Then some kind of a storm thing or cataclysm happens, and all these large shard things fall out of the sky and taint the land and destroy all the buildings. The children turn out to be Latias and Latios, and they save the town by making a force field or something. And then some other Latios and Latias come and save everyone, except for one Latios sacrifices himself and turns into a blue orb thing. And they leave the orb thing with the townsfolk and fuck off, and they're like, bye. And it turns out that we were reading that story in a book. Yes, Austin.
So that's really interesting what you just said.
Tell us how it's different.
Because you are watching a fan-edited version of the movie.
Well, that's what I got, and that's what I'm reading up my experience of, so.
You are watching a fan-edited version that restores that storybook sequence to the beginning of the movie, because as far as I'm aware, the dub cuts that whole thing.
How does it start, then, if not with that?
The dub just starts with Oakley, the evil thief, flipping through the book, and the security guard shows up.
Oh, so after the zoom out of, like, from the storybook, and they're just in the library.
Right, it like fades from the storybook to the pages of the book. And that's where the dub starts.
I feel like, not that it was pivotal, but it was it's exposition. Like, why would that dub cut it out? Like, I don't understand that.
I have a theory.
Which it would be?
Because they completely rewrite the entire backstory of Altamare.
In the version you watched.
In the dub, yes.
So the version I watched is different?
I don't know what you watched. You could have watched anything as far as I know.
Okay,
so I'm going to be interested to hear what you have to say.
Okay, so as we go, I hope you will correct or interject or whatever based
that's
on
the plan.
What I'm saying. Okay.
I like that storybook sequence, though. It looked really cool.
I'm interested now because I feel like I got a whole different story than some other people. I don't know. It was a cool art style. I did like the kind of Paper Mario-esque paper people cutout thing. But anyway.
Oh, I will note specifically, in the Japanese subbed I watched, there was no mention of a Latios sacrificing himself. That was not mentioned. And they specifically say that the Latios and Latias summoned all of their fellow brethren, and that Latios and Latias come to visit Altomare to this day.
Okay. Maybe I was inferring a little bit. I mean, I know that there was, like, a blue orb in the story, and just for ease of, like, telling this tale, that was because of that sacrifice. Anyway.
A lot of misinformation whispers going on here.
I know. It's not that deep, you guys. It's Pokemon.
No, it's not.
Okay, so, like Austin mentioned, now we're in the library of Altomare, and it's revealed that the two women thieves have stolen this book from the library that they were reading, and they escape via zipline before Filch, the caretaker, can come and find them.
Is there anybody under the invisibility cloak?
Oh my god, my immortal. They escape into their super awesome turbo getaway car that can apparently turn into a jet. The story also gives instructions on the machine that Austin's going to have to, like, give some information on this because I didn't think it made any fucking sense, but...
I don't have much information to give, sadly.
Okay. So the two women, by the way, like Austin said, their names are Annie and Oakley because that's clever. And they have some crazy hair. Annie, I believe, asks Oakley to tell her about the last chapter of the book, which contains information on the defense mechanism of Altomare, or the DMA, that for some godforsaken reason the townspeople built to protect them from threats? Potential threats in the future?
I mean, there was some sort of threat attacking them in the storybook.
I don't know what those big shard things falling from the sky were. That's kind of unclear, because the explanation that they give for why they built a defense mechanism system is different than a bunch of shards falling. So again, confused, but bear with us. We'll explain it.
We're figuring this out as we go.
Yeah. Just know that as of right now, the threat from ancient times was a meteor shower, but the threat that they say that they faced later is not that.
Okay.
Okay. So it talks about this defense mechanism system. And also something that's called the Soul Dew, which was that blue gem that they saw in the picture. Said to contain the soul of a Latios.
In the dub.
In the dub. So what is the sub saying?
It doesn't say anything. It's just a thing.
Okay, so we don't know what the jewel or orb thing is at the moment in Austin's version.
It's a held item.
It's a held item. In the games. But in the dub, it's the soul of a Latios. Cut to Ash and Misty having a great day in the sun. They're on some water Pokemon, and they're about to compete in the Tour de Altomare. Is this an annual thing?
Yes, they said it was an annual festival!
Guys, the annual festival has fucking returned.
I was wrong. There were more annual festivals in Johto. Hooray!
Austin, you crushed my heart, but now my happiness has been restored because we had another annual festival.
Maybe this is the last annual festival. I don't know.
Does it really count because it was in the movie? I don't think
true. So. We got to cap off Johto movies with an annual festival. There's no other options.
I'm so glad we had an annual festival. My life is complete.
True to the canon.
True to form. We're about to do the Tour de Altomare where Ash and Misty strap their Pokemon to like a little water sled thing. And they, like, speed through the canals of Venice, a.k.a. Altomare. The shadows of Latios and Latias are following them, of course, because they're the chosen one. I thought there was something weird going on with Misty's eyes. I didn't know what you thought about that.
Oh.
Her eye color was, like, super green, and I didn't think she had super green eyes, but...
Well, in my version, all the colors were wrong, so don't ask me.
Okay. Anyway, Latios helps Ash cheat by grabbing hold of Totodile. She's like invisibility shielded. She's got like a cloak of invisibility on. So Ash is like, Totodile, what's come over you? What's happening? Nobody knows. But then Latios interferes with Latias interfering and ultimately veers Ash off course. So Misty ends up winning the competition as she rightly should, I feel like.
Oh, dang. That is not Misty's eye color.
I told you she has some weird color contact shit going on.
Mm.
They're like seafoam green. It's very strange. I think it changes later because I don't remember her eyes being like so vibrant later on. I don't know. There were some weird color things happening in this. Anyway, Team Rocket makes their obligatory appearance. We see them just putzing around.
Team Rocket is doing what I would be doing, which is gorging on pasta because they're in Italy, goddammit.
I mean, if you have a chance to have authentic Italian food, jump on that shit. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
You gotta go to the island off the south shore of Johto that is inexplicably Venice, and you can have authentic Italian.
I love how they can just go there. Like, yeah. They can just afford to go there and just hang around and...
They got 3 months to the Johto League. They got nothing going on.
Not training or anything, yeah. Dang, I wish we can go to Venice. Anyway. So Annie and Oakley are here again, and they have, like, a weird whirligig spy camera thing that they're using to heat seek Latios and Latias because they have a lower body temperature than regular people do. Apparently, Latias can transform herself into a human person and walk amongst us. I feel sad because Team Rocket's just trying to eat their pasta and their ice cream, but they keep getting water splashed on them and their food keeps getting ruined, so I felt for them. Pikachu runs off at this point to go get some water because Ash just dehydrates his Pokemon, apparently.
I choose to believe Pikachu's going through a phase where he runs away, thus explaining why he was camping in the woods with no humans in sight for days on end. And now he's like, I'm going to explore Venice on my own for no reason without telling anyone. Goodbye.
Maybe Ash is being neglectful. He's just like, I got to take matters into my own hands. So Pikachu runs off to the little fountain, and some girl is there with her Vaporeon, and I don't even know why she gets a speaking line, because she says, come along, Vaporeon. Ash runs over, and he's like, where'd you go, Pikachu? And he meets the Latias girl for the first time, but unbeknownst to him, he doesn't know she's a Latias. She runs away and gets intercepted by Annie and Oakley, who start bullying her with their Pokemon. And they start tying her up in some Ariados string shot. And Ash is like, what the hell are you doing, you motherfuckers? And intervenes before they can do whatever they're going to do with her. They run throughout the city, and Austin, this is the part Austin hates because he thinks that it's ugly CGI, which is true.
All the backgrounds were beautiful. Until the buildings become CGI, and then it's like, never mind.
I mean, this is also, what, 2004, 2003?
Two.
Okay.
Damn good music, though.
The music is so good.
That faux Italian music is so fucking good.
I did appreciate that for sure. It was great. I just try to give the animation a pass because the technology just wasn't there, so we have to remember the time frame what we're working with.
They were proud of it, though. They were showing that off.
I bet as a kid, when you were watching this, weren't you impressed? Or maybe I can't ask Austin questions because he was a different kind of child. So.
I probably didn't notice at the time. What'd you think of the large pack? There was like the big crowds of Venice and they were all CGI people.
What I hated that. People? That was
ugly. Oh, those you hated.
There's a scene where when they're looking through their spy glasses, all the people suddenly go from being hand-drawn to being horrible CGI Sims. And it's jarringly bad.
Okay, so the people stick out to you more than the background.
Of course. It's uncanny. It was weird. So Ash intervenes and manages to make off with the Latios girl before Annie and Oakley can do whatever they're going to do to her. They lose sight of each other at some point during the chase through the streets of Venice. And Ash is just like, huh, okay, well, that was weird. Anyway, back to my life. And then just goes to find Misty and Brock. And they head to the museum, and he doesn't tell them what he's just been through, of course, because Ash is a horrible communicator, and I feel like a lot of the problems could be avoided or solved faster if Ash would just talk to his friends.
Oh yeah, there's a big one coming up.
Yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about.
I hope you interject when that happens.
Okay, great.
So they go to the Museum of Altmer, where a friendly old man comes up to them and starts talking to them about the history of the town. And we get some exposition, which completely is different from what we talked about in the storybook. Apparently, in ancient times, it wasn't a meteor shower or whatever. It was an evil Aerodactyl and Kabutops that attacked the citizens, and then Latios and Latias flooded the town to save everyone by drowning the Pokemon.
One of whom is a water type.
Yes, and the other one can fly.
So, okay, so all this is bullshit. It's like the dub was like, And then there was an evil trainer, and there was an evil Aerodactyl, and evil Aerocopotops, and then the Latios and Latios flooded the streets. Because it's making all this shit up. And it's, like, trying to make a backstory that doesn't exist. Because in the subtitled version I watched, the tour guide was just like, yeah, we have a lot of fossil Pokemon in this museum. Come look over here. Like, that's it.
Wait, so that was just a bunch of bullshit?
Yeah, it was just fossils they had on display at the museum.
So then how do you explain... Well, I guess then, okay, that I'll save it.
Okay.
Never mind. Forget what I said.
These are just random, regular fossils that have nothing to do with an evil trainer in the backstory.
So let's recap. The version you watched, as of this moment, what do you know about the history of Altamir?
Well, remember, I watched both the English dub and the Japanese dub.
Putting the English dub out of your head,
okay,
based on the Japanese sub, do you know about the history of Altamir just from that version?
Just what was told in the storybook.
At the beginning.
There was some sort of cataclysm that a Latios and a Latias prevented.
Okay.
And Latios and Latias come to and from the town.
Okay.
To this day. That's it.
Okay.
That's all there is.
Gotcha.
And also there's a blue jewel called a Soldew. That's it.
But the jewel not necessarily connected to the Latios or Latias.
Well, I guess it is because they presented it to the people. But
you
that,
don't know. But as far as... it being the soul of a Latios, that doesn't exist in your version.
No, it's just some sort of power-boosting device thing.
Okay.
Now, okay, I will say, this is next bit. Sorry, I'm going to jump over you a little bit. Lorenzo shows us the DMA, the defense mechanism of Altamir, and that thing actually has the same backstory.
Which is what?
The people of Altamir created it. But it's slightly different, because in the dub, it happened after this Kabutops Aerodactyl shit.
Right.
And then the Japanese version, it happened after whatever the mystery cataclysm was. And it happened so long ago that no one has any idea how to operate it.
That's always interesting when the ancient civilization creates this technological marvel that modern people cannot fucking figure out.
That was a Leonardo da Vinci thing, right? That's what they're referencing?
I would assume so.
That's what this thing kind of looks like to me.
A genius person makes the thing. Yeah, and he's Italian, whatever. Okay, so that's interesting. Did I miss it, or did he tell the Twerps his name was Lorenzo?
Did he ever say that in the dub?
I don't remember them even referencing it until way, way later when Ash just happens to say his name, but this is, like, way later.
So I was
like, what is your name, old man? Grandpa? I don't know.
Lorenzo.
It's Lorenzo.
We just all know his name is Lorenzo. Don't worry about it.
Lorenzo was scary because he didn't have eyelids.
Oh, shit. Is that what it is?
His eyes were, like, piercing and staring because they were, like, perfectly round also. So it was very off-putting.
Lorenzo is also a Pokemon, actually.
He looked really strange compared to everybody else. So not really sure what his deal is. So Ash is in the museum. And as he's getting the grand tour from Lorenzo, which I don't know why Lorenzo is like zeroing in on Ash and friends when there's other people milling around that he could be talking to, Ash spots the girl from before. This time, though, she's wearing a white hat and she's painting on a canvas. He decides to assault her and run up to her and start chasing after her. And the real girl is like, get the hell away from me. I don't know you. And then she leaves. Because this crazy boy is, like, running up to her.
Did you remember all this with there being a real girl in addition to the Latias girl?
Not initially, but then I...
It came back
to you. It came back, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is not the Latias girl. This is a different girl who looks exactly the same, but with a hat.
Right. So, the girl from before that we saw did not have the hat. This girl has the hat, and it becomes very obvious very quickly that... Latias can shapeshift and takes the form of the real girl whose name is Bianca because they're friends. So she just shapeshifts into her. As Ash is trying to chase down Bianca with the hat, he gets sidetracked and sees the imposter Bianca and doesn't realize that she's missing her hat. The imposter leads him to a secret door, which goes to a hidden garden where the Latios and Latias live. So then Lorenzo and Bianca show up and Ash realizes what's going on and now we're all caught up. Ash gets attacked suddenly though by an unseen force and Latios intervenes before Latios can mow Ash down and kill him. The real girl shows up and is like, oh hey, and Pikachu makes friends with the two Pokemon and everybody's just having a grand old time laughing and running around the garden and it's so great.
And this is where it is.
Go for it.
The great miscommunication.
Yeah.
One might say charitably.
Okay.
But in reality, it's Ash is a fucking dumbass because he doesn't say, the only reason I'm here is because I saw two women trying to attack Latias and take her.
I don't know why he doesn't say that from the beginning.
Once he figured out what was going on and, like, the situation, that should have been like, okay, so who are these women attacking? And Bianca and Lorenzo could be like, what?
He does tell them that.
Way later.
Later, because Bianca's like, what? Why didn't you say anything?
Like, after night falls, he tells them.
Anyway, Ash lives in the moment, right? All he cares about is, like, having fun and, like, playing with his Pokemon and whatever. We get a little bit more exposition on Latios. Apparently, Latios' power is shape-shifting into people, but Latios can't do that, but he can do something called sight sharing or Latios vision, whatever, where he kind of signal beams like a television boo into Latios's head, and then Latios can like projector screen that shit to other people. I don't know.
They're psychic dragons.
Oh my god, you're right. They are dragon types, aren't they?
They're using like telepathy, right?
Forgot that part because they look like bird jet plane things.
But they're actually psychic dragons.
Sure. Grandpa Lorenzo tells us a little more, and part of that is the legend of the ancient Altamir and the defense thing and all this other wacky shit. This is where we find out that Latios and Latias are the offspring, the orphaned offspring of the original Latios that sacrificed itself to save the town.
In the dub only.
In the dub only.
There is no dead father Latios to speak of in the Japanese version.
Let's get to that version after finish this part. Latios sacrifices himself, turned into the jewel, also known as the Soul Dew. And now the Soul Dew lives in a little pond in the secret garden, and it must never be removed or chaos and destruction will ensue. And then, of course, you know what's going to happen next. But, Austin, in your version, none of that is true.
Nope, none of that. No mention.
So what do they say about the jewel, if anything?
Nothing.
I mean, Grandpa Lorenzo does point out the jewel, though. Does he just say, like, here's the jewel?
Yep, here's the jewel.
I don't know. Maybe, I guess I appreciate it having some kind of significance, other than it just being some thing, lawn ornament, I don't know. Anyway, Team Rocket notices that Annie and Oakley are here, and they're running across the rooftops, very much Sly Cooper-like. And Team Rocket tries to do the same thing, but they can't because they're out of shape. And Wobbuffet jumps out and makes them fall to their deaths, and we don't see them again for a while. So, RIP Team Rocket. Annie and Oakley knock out Grandpa in a kind of a sad scene where he, like, falls and hits his head and dies.
There was a ton of Pokemon and human violence.
I know. This happening. Was out of control, honestly.
Annie and Oakley were attacking people left and right, and Ash was like, well, fuck you, and he did the same thing right back to them.
I mean, somebody has to. They get into the secret sanctum and capture Latios, who defends Latias long enough for her to get away, and they also get their hands on the Soul Dew, and they take Latios to the museum where the DMA is activated. Bianca and Grandpa show up and try to intervene, but are once again physically assaulted and knocked out.
Because it worked so well the first time, let's try again, but this time with my daughter, or granddaughter, with me.
I guess if we're being objective about this, they're doing what villains should be doing.
Yes.
Which is incapacitating them, like not holding back and...
No, it's a rare occurrence. That's why I pointed out. It's very rare that they're just like, yeah, attack Grandpa. Knock him the fuck out. Tie him up and put him in the corner. We should probably slit his throat, but we're not going to do that.
I mean, I guess it's just a rare thing in Pokemon that, like, the villains actually pose any kind of threat. So when they even do something close to this, we're, like, shocked and appalled. But this is typical for what a villain would do. So we should not be surprised. So Ash, because he's a terrible communicator, doesn't tell Misty or Brock what's going on or that he even, like, met these people. And so they're still at the museum, presumably, all this time until they go home. Like, I don't know where they've been this whole time. It's like
smash cut. They're all asleep at the Pokemon Center.
Yeah, like, they don't say, hey, Ash, where have you been? Like, what have you been up to? You just rudely left us at the museum? Like, what's going on?
It's kind of funny because I'm like, in real life, people do split up and do separate things, of course, because that's just how humans work. But we're so used to Ash, Misty, and Brock as, like, a singular unit. One single entity that goes to place to place. So seeing Ash splinter off like that during a adventure like this. It's kind of jarring.
Yes, that's true. But like, if you were out with a friend group and just disappeared for hours, like, that would be cause for concern. And I think your friends would rightly be upset with you if you just sauntered back to the hotel or whatever you were staying at hours later and you were like, hey, guys.
I think you and I would be upset with each other if we did that. But other people who go to vacation in Europe and in backpack in groups may not have the same perspective.
I mean, I just think it's common courtesy if you're with a larger group of people and deciding on whether or not to stay together or do something else. Is it that hard to say, hey, guys, we're going to go off and do this. See you guys later. Okay, bye. Just so you know, I would want people to know where I was in case something happened, but maybe it's just me. I don't know.
You know what I'm suddenly realizing? This happens in all of the movies up to this point.
What?
Ash it always ends up separated from the other two.
Yeah, because he has to have his chosen one adventure.
Right. But in this one, usually it's like there's an emergency happening. But in this one, he's like, gotta run, bye.
I don't know. Ciao. I think it's just rude that he just comes back and doesn't tell them anything. Like, wouldn't your first instinct be like, hey guys, you'll never believe what I've been up to for the past couple hours. I met this girl and her grandpa and there was a Pokemon and like, whatever.
And then how funny is it when Latias shows up and Misty and Brock are like, what the actual hell is going on?
Because again, they know nothing.
All right.
Anyway, so it's nighttime. They're sleeping. Latias flies in, confused, scared, whatever. I think she turns into Bianca, right? She
yes.
transforms, and then so it's like a random girl is like standing in their room. Brock and Misty are like, who the hell is this? And then are shocked when she transforms into an actual Pokemon, and then Ash tells them the story, I suppose. He explains everything. Meanwhile, at the museum, this is the part where, again, we didn't have the explanation in the Japanese sub. Oakley brings the fossilized Aerodactyl and Kabutops back from the grave, which in your version, Austin, is just random fossils.
Right.
But in the dub version is apparently the revived Pokemon that terrorized ancient Altamere.
Which one do you prefer? Which scenario?
That's hard. I guess I prefer, with the fossilized Pokemon, I prefer them just being random fossil Pokemon.
I think that makes more sense. Because it's a reference to the Gen 1 games, where there's the Kabutops and the Aerodactyl in the museum.
Right.
It's a little nod to that, I would assume. That's too much of a coincidence, if not.
Sure. Because in the version I watched, again, the storybook cataclysm was just some kind of meteorological event or something. No reference to ancient Pokemon attacking the town. So to have an ancient Kabutops and Aerodactyl come back doesn't make sense.
You see, you were watching that pieced together fan version that doesn't...
I know.
Contradictory backstories.
That's why it's like a weird Frankenstein where you have two different events happening, and it was strange. Anyway, so they're chased through the canals by the resurrected zombie Pokemon, and Brock and Misty send their Pokemon to help them.
Ooh.
Crobat, Politoed, and Corsola? Was it Corsola?
Correct.
Okay, good. Phew. They don't really do much. They kind of help. It doesn't really matter. At the same time, this part was weird. I guess Oakley gets in the DMA that's activated and she completely goes insane. The power goes to her head and she starts actively trying to kill Ash. She can control the water with this thing, which is really weird. Ash almost drowns to death and she's like laughing about it. I can't remember how he gets saved. Is it Latias?
Latias makes like a giant bubble of psychic energy and it like explodes and the water goes everywhere. So she destroys the water spout that Ash is being attacked in, which I think is a little foreshadowing for what's about to happen.
Sure. Ash is completely unfazed by almost dying and manages to make his way back to the museum where the defense contraption is starting to malfunction. Was there a reason why it starts to go haywire or...
Okay, if I remember correctly, now I'm getting confused myself. I think in the Japanese version, they said if an evil soul or whatever touches the soul dew, it'll be corrupted and it could lead to disaster. But I think in the dub, it sounded just more like the device was just inherently dangerous.
Well, the soul dew hasn't been touched yet. That hasn't
happened. But it's already turning black.
It's starting to turn black, but they haven't touched it yet. the device starts to malfunction beforehand. I don't know.
I guess it's, like, overloaded with psychic power from Latios and the Soul Dew.
Sure. Just when everything seems to start to calm down, Annie realizes that the Soul Dew is no longer a beautiful blue color, but instead it's all black and gross looking. And Lorenzo's like, don't fucking touch that, just as she's...
That was a cool moment.
Touching it, right? Yeah.
Because the music, like, suddenly stops as he screams. I love that.
I know, that was a little bit of an interesting... There has to be a word for that kind of, like, thematic effect.
The jarring cut.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Now everything starts to go to shit. The water in the town starts receding, and we know that's a bad sign because if you're ever in a place, like a beach or seaside area, where the water starts to recede... Get the fuck out of there.
What are they going to do? They're on the island of Venice off the coast of Japan. Well, they can't go anywhere.
Well, if they had Charizard, maybe they could fly away, but they don't.
Leaving thousands to be killed. Right. The end.
Well, maybe they should also have a bunch of Charizards. I don't know what to tell you.
Everyone should have a Charizard.
Everyone should. So all the water starts to recede, and then a giant wave of water comes, and this is actually pretty terrifying.
I mean... Was it the scariest thing I've ever seen in a movie in my life? No.
For Pokemon.
Was it scarier than Mewtwo's ball hands or, like, the blizzard in the middle of the Orange Islands or any of that? Yes. Because it was a tidal wave hurtling at you. That's God, the power of God coming to kill you.
I think a typhoon or a giant wave of water is a little bit more relatable than, like, Mewtwo's ball hands. So
right. So that's why it was scary. Because it was like, this could, like...
Really happen.
This has happened to people.
Yes.
You see this thing coming and you're dead.
Yeah. Not a good thing that's happening. So some heroic stuff happens. Latios flies in.
Pokemon heroes.
Oh, that's where the name of the movie comes from, is the Pokemon themselves are the heroes.
Yep.
Latios flies in and sacrifices itself somehow to save the town. I don't know how Latios survives because the power of sacrifice, I don't know.
Latios has been put in, like, the psychic energy draining device of death for the last hour and a half. And Latios has just been beat up a couple times. So when they team up to use their psychic energy to, like, dissipate the wave, Latios, like, just is fades away into oblivion. Just vaporized.
Poor thing.
Sorry, I read way too much X-Men comics. I'm, like, used to this kind of shit.
I guess it's okay.
We're on the astral plane. And
I guess it makes sense. The inherent life force of Latios was already drained because it was being attacked and kind of imprisoned in this weird mechanism. And so it doesn't have the energy to continue to fight and dies, I guess. It's very sad. I'm not gonna, you know, just gloss over the fact that Latios dies. It's quite a sad moment. Ash and Lorenzo and everybody else ferry out to the middle of the ocean with their little gondola and find Latios on the back of a Mantine just floating in the ocean.
That helpful ass random Mantine.
I know.
Who's like, look at this Latios. I gotta get it to some people.
I want to say there were some other Pokemon there too, but I can't remember.
There was two Chinchows.
Okay. Thank you, Chinchows. We appreciate you.
The Chinchows were there for moral support.
We appreciate you, Chinchows. Forgettable, but I guess you were there too. Latios is very sad and depressed, and everybody's like, where's Latios? And it's a very sad moment when Ash starts to cry because he's like, no, Latios. Okay, forget all the other stuff. This part actually, like, got me a little bit.
This was a good moment.
I hate this part. Oh.
Do you want me to cover it?
Yeah, it's too sad.
Latios suddenly starts to see what Latios was seeing. But how can that be if Latios is dead? So we see Latios shares what Latios is seeing, which is the island of Altamar, as it zooms out further and further away, and then it sees the Earth from a distance until it's a blue dot, and then it vanishes. They no longer can see what Latios sees.
Oh.
Very spiritual. Very...
I know. It was so existential. It kind of, like... It was intense for Pokemon. And I think... We didn't mention this, because I know we were giving the anime shit a couple episodes back about them not saying dying or death or anything like that.
Die, death, Latios died, Latios' father died, we're all gonna die, death, kill, die, all throughout this thing.
Yeah, I think... Well, they do tell the story about how Latios' father sacrificed himself and died. And then I think at this moment, Lorenzo is like, Latios died.
It's a movie. You can say shit. We're not on Saturday morning cartoons anymore.
No, we are not.
We are being distributed in a limited release by Miramax in theaters.
Yes. Well, apparently Miramax is not afraid for somebody to say the word dying, because they do. It's very sad. I had a little existential moment because I'm like, you're literally disembodied, floating out of your body, floating away into the black abyss of nothing.
It's a beautiful depiction of death, I would say.
It is.
It's surprisingly evocative for a Pokemon movie, for sure.
I think that exactly sums up my feelings about it. I don't know. It's just a heavy thing, but also beautiful, like you said. Latios fades away, then turns into a Soul Dew gem, just like his father did.
Which has to be the reason why the dub concocts this entire cockamamie backstory of the dead father, and they were tying in the fossils to make it all less disconnected, and they were like, wait, so the Latios becomes the Soul Dew? Okay, so that means the Soul Dew that already existed is also a dead Latios. What dead Latios? Their father Latios.
Okay.
They were working backwards, surely.
Yes. From this. But I think it makes sense in a convoluted way, because if Latios becomes the Soul Dew, then yes, how did the original Soul Dew come to be?
So somewhere in the backstory, there is a dead Latios or Latios that became a Soul Dew.
Yes.
That we did not see depicted in that storybook.
Right.
And then the dub is just like, it was their dad.
Sure.
They have a tragically dead dad.
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate the dub trying to make up some kind of semblance of a story. The twerps thank Lorenzo and leave. But Miss Bianca, like, how, when we leave the ocean, how far in the future, like, how do we fast forward? Like,
yeah, it seemed like.
That was weird.
Because, dawn has broke. They have been out and about dealing with this nonsense all night.
Yes.
And now it's like day and they're leaving. The twerps are leaving town.
Yeah.
So, and Lorenzo's like, oh, you're leaving already? So was this like a few hours later? Or was this the next day?
I don't know. That was what confused me, because I was like, okay, the last time we see them, they're all together on the gondola. Latios turned into the Soul Dew. I'm assuming they paddled back to town, checked on everything, went back to their hotel, got their shit together. I'm assuming it's the next day?
24 hours later.
Because it wouldn't make sense that they would part, not say goodbye to Bianca, and then just leave.
I mean, can you imagine if they had spent the next day like, okay, the Latios died. Okay, let's keep on touring Venice for the rest of the day. Like,
I mean, maybe by that logic, then it is a couple hours later. Maybe they just part because they went back to the hotel to get their stuff together. But then I don't know why they wouldn't say goodbye to Bianca then. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Whatever, we're thinking too hard.
We're setting up the next thing the last thing that happens in the movie.
Sure.
Which is, I would argue, the most famous part of this movie.
Which cannot happen if they were together, so they have to split the group up so that this next thing can happen, which is they run into Lorenzo, they thank him, and they're like, oh, he's like, oh, you're leaving already. And they're like, yeah, is Bianca with you? And he's like, no, she just went to the market. You just missed her. But then they see her when they're leaving, and by her, I mean Latios, because she doesn't have the hat, and Ash.
Well, did you notice that detail?
No.
We see Bianca's bedroom, and we see her hat is on the easel.
Oh my gosh.
In her bedroom.
You're right.
And then a mysterious hand comes and grabs something off the easel, and the hat is left behind.
Okay. So knowing that, then, we could not know whether or not the person is Bianca or Latios. We don't know.
Well, I have a strong suspicion, but go on.
Okay, so they are sad. They're like, oh, dang, too bad we missed her. Tell her we said goodbye. And he's like, okay, thanks for everything, bye. They leave. They're about to head out into the open ocean, but Ash is like, driver, stop the boat immediately.
Whoa, British Ash. Ooh, hello.
Well, he says driver, and I was like, how rude. Ash sees Bianca, and he's like, hey. And so Bianca, runs up to him, gives him the picture that she was drawing, which is a very sweet picture of him and Pikachu, mm-hmm. And then does something surprising to everyone. She kisses him on the mouth.
No, she doesn't.
I'm going to choose to believe that they just censored that, but it was a full-on kiss in the mouth.
No, it was a kiss on the cheek, like, explicitly so. Like, explicitly, his lips were not touching her.
Sure. They couldn't show that right on TV.
Give Serena her due, Alex.
We didn't see that either, Austin.
True. Sorry, spoilers.
Everybody knows that. And we get no resolution of that, and I'm still bitter to this day. Anyway, Misty is like, wow, was that Bianca? And Brock is like overcome, and I think it awakens something in him or something, because he's just losing his mind. And yeah.
It's a fun, cute little mystery to end the movie on.
So what's your theory then? Is it Bianca or is it Latias?
I think it's Latias because she runs up to Ash and she's panting without making any noise.
Right. We know she can't talk. But you're obviously right because she doesn't speak or say anything. So it's obviously not.
It's a cute little mystery with an obvious answer that we shouldn't overthink.
Right. As they leave, they get a flicker of, or Ash anyway, looks up into the sky and sees flickers of what I assume to be Papa Latios, our Latios, and Latias flying together.
Which I guess is like a symbolic thing, but keeping in mind that Papa Latios doesn't actually exist, I'm assuming these are just random Latios and Latias coming by.
Which would make more sense in your version, knowing that this is a destination where there are multiple Latios and Latias, and they just come and go as they please. From, like, my perspective only, not knowing that random Latios and Latias come into town. I didn't know that.
Again, I think we were working backwards from this last scene of the two Latios and a Latias.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trying to jerry-rig things together here, isn't there?
Just kind of trying to make something out of nothing.
I kind of think it ruins the movie.
In what way? Like, just trying to ham-fist, like, something in?
Right. I think I'd like this movie best when it's just pretty, and it's you don't overthink it. It's just the streets of Venice with music playing, and we're running around, and we're just sightseeing and sight sharing, ha ha ha. And it's just kind of like scenery going by, and I think all this effort to make a backstory that's not actually there, it weighs it down a little bit, I think. It makes it a bit too needlessly complicated.
Yeah, I think if some things are left to imagination, or just is because it's pretty or whatever, like, that's, there's nothing wrong with something just being there because.
Is it unearned pathos? Because we are told, not shown, this whole thing with the dead parent and their orphans, and now, like, the cycle of sacrifice continues. But again, we're told, not shown any of that, so there's no emotional weight to any of it.
Right.
I just think it's awkward. I think it stands out notably, even without knowing that backstory is not actually canon.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Ultimately, they leave, the day is saved, and we never talk about Altamir again.
But that's not true.
I misspoke. When do we talk about Altamir again?
Not for a very long time.
Okay. In recent memory, I guess.
Yep. Not to mention, in every fucking Pokemon movie from now until the end of it, we're going to get a scene in the opening credits where a Latios and a Latios are flying through the canals. So
I guess I shouldn't speak before I know the actual truth, because I'm like, and we never see these people again. But apparently we do.
This movie's going to get homaged quite a bit, actually.
Looking forward to that then. Oh, there was a moment where Annie and Oakley get trapped in, like, the defense mechanism dome, and they're just sort of left to a questionable fate. Like, do they just die in there? Who knows, because they can't get the door open. In case you were wondering, no, they don't die. Officer Jenny finally fucking shows up and arrests them and takes them off to jail, where they read a book about Lawrence the Third.
So,
what?
I guess Lawrence the Third was just never caught, and he's just like a billionaire who's getting profiles on him in books you can find in prison.
Wait, okay. Didn't he like crash and die? Like,
no, he was still alive.
Oh, I thought he like died in his, like,
he found his ancient Mew card in the wreckage.
Oh, okay. I thought he died in the whirligig, but whatever.
No, you're making the movie more cohesive than it actually was.
I think I was just conflating Lawrence crashing in his whirligig to Hunter J crashing in her helicopter.
Oh, yeah, that's a different matter.
That's a different story entirely.
Did you like the music played during the credits?
I did like the music.
Did you know what it was?
You're going to tell me.
Do you have a guess?
I don't.
That was soundtrack recordings from Pokemon Live.
Get out.
No, that was all music from the Pokemon Live album.
Get out. Oh, my God. I fucking love Pokemon Live.
You didn't recognize it, though.
Oh, I'm so mad at myself.
If Giovanni's song had started up, you would have recognized
Giovanni.
That.
Giovanni. Of course I would.
Oh, that's the other thing.
What?
That's the other big difference.
Giovanni wasn't there.
Okay.
They talk about him.
Tell us more about that, Alex.
They briefly mention him, like 1 second, where they're like, we gotta do some shit for Giovanni. I don't know.
Yes. For some reason, the dub changed it that Annie and Oakley were just like thieves. Like
they're Team Rocket spies, is what Jesse and James say. They're spies working for Giovanni's like elite spy team.
In the dub only, because in the Japanese version, they are not Team Rocket. They are not spies.
Whoa,
they have nothing
what?
To do with Giovanni. There's no reference to Giovanni or Team Rocket whatsoever.
We didn't talk about that.
Because I don't know if you noticed the scene where Team Rocket sees them for the first time. Jesse and Meowth are animated to not know who those people are, but James is like, do you not know Annie and Oakley, the world famous thieves?
Yes, he knows who they are.
But they add in dialogue where Jesse's like, I think that was Team Rocket. And Meowth's like, those are spies working for Giovanni, as they have like puzzled expressions on their faces.
But okay, so James knows who they are.
Right.
Jesse and Meowth don't, but then Meowth says they're spies.
Yes, and like it's very inconsistent because Meowth's like, they're spies for Giovanni. Who were they?
So in the Japanese version then, what is that dialogue exchange?
Jesse and Meowth conclude that if they're in town, that means they're trying to steal something valuable. So they're going to tail them and figure out what it is and steal it out from under them. That's what their whole mission is this movie.
Okay.
That was not conveyed in the dialogue.
So James does not explain how he knows who they are.
They're just famous.
They're just famous thieves.
If you subscribe to the Team Rocket Gazette, you'll see a feature on them, I guess.
So they're not affiliated with Team Rocket at all?
No.
Or Giovanni?
No Giovanni reference at all.
Okay. I guess I like it better when Giovanni's mentioned, though.
Oh, of course. You just want Giovanni's name to be said aloud.
Just any way you can shove that shit in, baby. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense, honestly, though, being critical about it. It doesn't make sense that they're working for Team Rocket, like...
They're not working for Team Rocket. They're just not.
I mean...
They're independent agents.
Their motivation... Yeah, it's like the motivation didn't make any sense at all because it's like they started fucking around with stuff. And if they were working for Team Rocket, like them fucking around with stuff wouldn't make sense. Like,
which is exactly what happened in the previous movie.
Yeah.
When the Iron Mask Marauder was supposed to catch Celebi for Giovanni.
Yeah.
But he was like, fuck Giovanni. I'm going to do this myself.
I guess you have a bunch of like egotistical crazy people working for other egotistical crazy people. And they kind of just go rogue.
See also the upcoming cabinet for the United States of America, President
Joel. That's too real.
On that note.
Birds of a feather, I guess. Anyway, so that is Pokemon Heroes, aka Pokemon the Movie 5, Latios and Latias, Heroes, Latias and Latios, Movie Pokemon 5, Heroes, Pokemon, or whatever.
Did you know they had a dead Latios father?
Okay, that was fun. I think I'd give it a solid middle grade.
Okay, what's your numerical grade?
Are we doing 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 10?
Well, 1 out of 5, but you can do 0.5s. Mm. So technically 1 out of 10, yes.
3.
Damn!
What?
3?
Wait, is that too low or too high?
3 out of 10?
Oh no, I'm sorry, 3 out of 5.
Okay, so that's a 6. Okay.
Wait, I'm sorry, no.
Numbers.
I asked you if we were doing 1 out of 5.
Thank God we don't give a numerical score to every anime episode. Otherwise, it would be sheer chaos.
I was so confused because I was like, wait, you were like shocked at 3. And I was like, is 3 too generous? Is it not enough? Like, I'm so confused. Out of 10, 6.5.
Okay, I'm going to go higher than you. And I'm going to go for 7.5. So it's a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Or a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
The music was banging. Liked that music.
The music and the visuals. I'll repeat it ad nauseum. Those make this movie worth watching, assuming you're not watching the version that I have on DVD with the corrupted video that looks fucking terrible.
That's the saving grace. I mean, honestly, the story was weak. The motivations were weak. There was no motivation. I mean, it's just an overall weak storyline, but...
A weak storyline made needlessly convoluted, yes.
The versions, the weirdness with that, the sacrificing, I mean, overall, it could be worse. could be better.
All right, let's do our MVP, LVB in quote.
Okay.
And just a reminder for any new listeners, we cannot repeat what the other one said.
Yes, that is correct. Add I go to first. The challenge. Okay, go for it.
MVP, I will give it to Latias.
Okay.
Because she saw Ash and she was like, that right there, that's the fucking chosen one. I am going to follow him and I need him on my side. So she recruited him the second he was on that Totodile water race thing.
You know, I was thinking about this because I was like, was it Ash that caused the problem by virtue of him being there? You were right. This is the one that actually would have happened without Ash, potentially could have been worse without his intervention.
Actually, I think all these movies would have happened without Ash. Mewtwo was cloned by Giovanni and Dr. Fuji and was going to attack no matter what. Lawrence the Third was going to attack the birds no matter what.
Yeah.
Molly's father was going to get sucked into the unknown zone dimension thing.
Unknown zone.
The Iron Mask Marauder was going to hack Celebi and Sammy Oak was going to fly through time no matter without Ash's interference. In the show, everything bad happens because of Jesse James and Meowth. In the movies, these things are going to happen because of other people. And Ash is completely irrelevant.
But he just happens to be present for everything.
Happens to be at the right place at the right time.
Okay. Fair enough.
And as we know, Annie and Oakley are not Giovanni agents, so completely unrelated to Ash.
That works better. Okay, so without that common thread, like in the version without Giovanni's, like them not being Team Rocket or whatever, they're just doing their own thing regardless. In the version with them being affiliated with Team Rocket, you're like, oh, Ash and Team Rocket destined to be tied together, but that's not the case.
All right, my LVP. Oh, actually, can I change my MVP?
Okay.
Can I change it to Timothy the Crobat and Corsola and Politoed?
We didn't really talk about them.
No, they were the Pokemon heroes themselves. It was their movie because they saved Ash from that Kabutops guillotining him.
I mean, I kind of was like, they didn't really do much anyway. And then you're like, they saved his life.
They saved his life, Alex.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, he would have been fine. He would have been fine. But it was fun to give them a little spotlight for no real reason.
Sure.
Fuck you, Latias. I'll give it to our main crew over here.
Fucking Latias.
And my LVP is going to be, I guess, Annie and Oakley for putting all of Venice at risk.
I mean, honestly, more Oakley than anybody.
Oh, more Oakley. Annie just wanted the jewel, which, like, you're attacking a cultural heritage that is the sacred jewel or whatever. Oakley was like, unlimited power!
I know, she went full fucking Sheev Palpatine, and I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? Annie even at a couple times was like, girl, what the fuck? Like, calm down. You need to stop.
Okay, you convinced me. Oakley specifically, Oakley not Annie. I'll give it to Oakley.
Annie really didn't do anything egregious and was shocked about the behavior of her friend and, like, it makes sense that all she cared about was the jewel because they're thieves.
One more dub change.
Okay, what's different now?
And the last scene we have of them, they reveal to the audience that they are actually sisters.
Oh, they're sisters.
They're sisters. And in kindergarten, they got into a fight because Oakley evolved Annie's Gloom into a Vileplume, but she wanted a Blossom.
What? This is not talked about at all. What?
I don't know what they were saying in the dub, but I was like really surprised when
Wait, when did this happen?
At the very end, when they're trapped in like the orb of the device.
Oh, it wasn't any real dialogue other than, oh, we're stuck in here. I guess we're stuck in here. Oh, okay, don't panic. We're just stuck in here now.
No, we get this like whole backstory. What? They must be like twin sisters.
This is craziness.
And Annie's the older twin sister, it seems.
We didn't get any of that. What the fuck? All right.
What a weird thing. We added so much backstory and we couldn't retain that. Okay.
No, I mean, they didn't talk about that. Unless I blacked out for a second. I don't remember that at all.
My quote. There wasn't very many quotes.
There were not.
Because all the dialogue was devoted to, like, making up fake backstory.
Half the dialogue was literally them, Latias and Latias going, murr, 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 murr.
Instead of going with a funny Team Rocket one, I'm going to go with a kind of a sweet one.
Oh, good. That's not mine then, because it was the only funny one I had.
It was after Totodile gets, like, scooped up by Latias and Latios and, like, veers Ash off the path during the race. He looks pretty dejected. And Ash says, it's okay, Totodile. Everyone makes a wrong turn once in a while. Aww. And Totodile gets so happy and jumps into his arms. And that's the Ash that, at the end of the day, we know and love.
That was so sweet.
even if he abandons his friends in Italy. And then doesn't tell people that they're being assaulted.
His glimmers of niceness make up for all the other stuff.
All right, your turn.
I don't even know. My MVP is going to be... God.
I've rescinded my lot to y'all, so if you want to use her.
No, I don't, actually. God, who deserves it, honestly? Okay, my MVP is going to be Latios.
Oh.
For selflessly sacrificing his life to save the town. Who knows what happened in the past with Papa Latios or whatever. We don't know.
The past is in the past.
The past is in the past. We know the present. And the present is there was a giant wall of water absolutely going to come and cause fathomless destruction and multiple deaths. And Latios sacrificed himself to save the people. So... it was a very sweet moment, and we get the existential visual of him flying away into space, and it was very touching. So thank you, Latios, for becoming the soul dew and being trapped in a soul dew forever, I guess.
It's a hard job, but someone's got to do it.
He's got to live in a pool for the rest of time, I guess, until 1,000 years from now when some other fucking kid comes and takes the soul dew out of the thing. My LVP is going to be Grandpa Lorenzo for not having eyelids and having a 1,000-yard stare. It was too uncanny, and I didn't like it.
No, he was like a different character type.
He's like a different anime. I don't know. There was nothing wrong with Lorenzo, like, personally. It's just the way he was drawn was weird, and I didn't like it. So, sorry, Lorenzo. You were a victim of bad art.
He's not bad. He's just drawn that way.
My quote is going to be the one quote I put down because there's literally no other notable quotes. Towards the beginning, when Annie and Oakley are chasing Latias / Bianca through the streets and corners her, and Ash runs up and he's like, "What's going on here?" Annie is like, "Oh, why did you run away? We just wanted to tell you something about the shirt you were wearing." Oakley says, "It's last year's color." And Ash says, "Hey, what do you think you're doing?" And Annie says, "We're just trying to prevent a fashion disaster."
You like that bit?
I did. What did they actually say?
They said that same thing.
Oh, good.
Like, more or less. Like, it was all about her clothes. Like, it was the same thing.
I didn't think her outfit was, like, that bad. I mean, it was a little dated and frumpy a little bit, but whatever. Anyway, I think we've talked and said as much as we could possibly say about this movie. Any final thoughts on Pokemon the Movie 5?
Nope.
No final thoughts. Okay. What is on the menu for next week?
All right, next week. Well, I don't know if it's going to be next week, but hopefully sometime before Christmas 2024, we are going to have a special episode that we really need to figure out the formatting of before we record it. We are going to be listening to the Pokemon Christmas Bash album.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Which I'm not familiar with and don't own, so this is going to be fun.
Ooh, it'll be new for both of us.
It's on YouTube in full.
Okay.
So we're going to give it a listen and have some interesting discussions, I'm sure.
I'm quite sure. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode and talking about the movie. If you made it this far, we appreciate it, of course. Just want to give another shout out to our listeners, Tristan and Ben. Thank you so much for writing in and giving us your feedback. We welcome it. If anybody else would like to reach out to us, you can always do so at our Gmail at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Austin, do you feel like you want to say something?
Looking forward to that Mad Libs.
Oh, yeah. Ben, we're looking forward to the Mad Libs. We await that, so send it to us as soon as you can. It'd be really fun to do that again. We'll see how that goes with two people, because we had Jacob on last time, but looking forward to that. If anybody else would ever want to reach out, we also encourage that. Like I said, we have our Gmail, but we also have our Blue Sky, our new Blue Sky that's at Out of the Drying Pan. Again, at Out of the Drying Pan. We also have an Instagram at Out of the Drying Pan. And we also have our Patreon. If you like what we do and want to support us, you can always check us out over there. We've got some really cool extra bonus content, notes, fan fictions, bonus episodes, you name it. Go check us out. We would really appreciate it. And we always like to say thank you again for listening. And we shall see you next week as the journey continues.